The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then, in disgrace, he would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. That reading left out a little bit of this portion that I wanted to read today. So before I begin my actual sermon, I'm going to read what was left out in the Gospel book. Just after the part where it says they were watching him closely, this happened. Just then in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. So now you have the missing piece. When our kids were little, one of the favorite sets of books that we liked to read to them were the Little House books. And they're Laura Ingalls Wilder's memoirs of growing up as a child in the pioneer days. And one of the challenges she writes about that pioneering families faced was how to educate their children. So whenever possible, the pioneer communities would form schools, and they would often hire young, single teachers to teach in one-room schoolhouses with students of every age. And since they couldn't pay the teacher very much, they'd provide housing by each family taking turns to board the teacher. And it would be like a month at a time. The teacher would stay at one home and then another. And I could just imagine that it was when it was your family's turn to board the teacher, everybody would be expected to be on their absolute best behavior. Their hands washed, using good grammar, not speaking unless spoken to, and those rules were observed much more strictly in those days than they are today, even when the teacher wasn't sitting at the dinner table. So today, we just read a story about a dinner party at the home of a Pharisee when the teacher, Jesus himself, was sitting at the table. And it seems to me, reading it, it must have been one of the most awkward, uncomfortable dinner parties recorded in any of the Gospels. Although Jesus had a habit of making people squirm in all kinds of situations. But if I were to choose a title for this 14th chapter of Luke, the title I might use is "Jesus Attends a Dinner Party and Offends Everybody." In the course of this meal, Jesus offended the respected leaders of teachers of the Jews, the honored guests, and the host who had invited him. Luke says in verse 1 that Jesus went into the house of the leader of the Pharisees for Sabbath day dinner, and they were all watching him closely, hoping to catch him in some error, some breach of law, hoping for an excuse to condemn him and his teaching. But as the chapter continues, it turns out Jesus turns the tables on them. He has his eye on them. All those people reclining at table with him, and he challenges every single one of them. So first, the part I just read, there's a man present who's suffering from dropsy. And dropsy is what we would call edema. It's when the fluids accumulate in the tissues of the body. In and of itself, it's not urgent or life-threatening, but it's uncomfortable, it's unpleasant, and it's generally a symptom of some bigger problem. So Jesus sees this man who's clearly in need of help, and he poses a question to the lawyers and the Pharisees around them, who are all very careful observers of the law, including and especially the observance of the Sabbath day. Is it lawful, he asks them, with one eye on the man with dropsy and one on the faces of his dinner companions, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They most certainly did not think it was lawful, but not one of them dared to say anything in reply, because Jesus had a reputation for coming out on the better end of that kind of disputation. And so Jesus simply reached out and he healed the man and he sent him on his way. And then he said, let me ask you another question. If your son or even your cow fell into a well on the Sabbath day, how many of you would think twice before running and pulling them out? And nobody had an answer. And as that uncomfortable silence continued around the table, and dinner parties with uncomfortable silences are terrible, Jesus observed the guests that were coming in. And he noticed that as they came in, they looked around and tried to find a place of honor to sit in. So he turned to those guests. Most certainly they were important, wealthy citizens, highly respected among the rulers of the synagogue. Nobody else was questioning their rights to the best seats except Jesus. And he looked at them and he told a story about people who attend a wedding and pick the best seats. And he told them, as soon as somebody more important arrives, you'll be asked to make room for them, and you'll have to move down to the cheap seats in disgrace. You'd be a lot smarter to sit in a humble place where the host might come and invite you to move up. People who exalt themselves end up getting put down. It's the people who humble themselves who are raised up. And then he moved on to the man who had invited him. He had a word for him as well. And you, he said, when you give these parties, don't invite all your rich, influential friends. These people are sure to invite you back and you'll be repaid. No, invite people who can pay you back, the poor, the disabled, the blind. Then you'll really be blessed because you'll be rewarded by God himself on the day when the righteous are resurrected. If we'd been there that day at that dinner party, I am absolutely sure that we would have found ourselves squirming in our seats at some point or other, just like all the guests that were there, because the truth is, the teaching of Jesus makes us uncomfortable. It makes us uncomfortable because we fall short of his goodness and his love and his grace, and we fall short all the time. It's easy to read this story and sit back and point our fingers at the hard-heartedness of the Pharisees or the pride of those wealthy guests or the self-centeredness of the host. But just let Jesus look you in the eye. Have any of us ever chosen to play it safe instead of going out of our way to offer mercy to someone who is suffering? Have any of us ever prided ourselves in being just a little more important than the next guy? Or how often have any of us chosen to bring the lame and the blind and the poor into our home instead of our good friends and our family that we love? Can any of us hear the voice of Jesus at this dinner party and not recognize that he's talking to us? The perfect goodness and wisdom of Jesus are a joy and our hope, but they're also a challenge to us to search our hearts and confess our need to change and grow. We have to know and remember always that Jesus said in no uncertain terms that he did not come to condemn us. We should never read the words of Jesus and feel like we're being condemned or rejected. We should never feel that we're too flawed or too weak or just plain old bad to be worthy of his love. You are loved unconditionally, absolutely, all the time. But that doesn't mean he never wants you to change or grow. The Pharisees at dinner and his hosts and those wealthy men who plunked themselves down in the very best seats, Jesus loved them. And it was because he loved them that he called them out in their pride and their selfishness and their hard-heartedness, just like he calls us out when we give in to our pride and our selfishness. His discipline is an act of love. That's what the writer of the Hebrews said. He said, "My child, pay attention when the Lord corrects you. Don't be discouraged when he rebukes you, because the Lord corrects everyone he loves. He disciplines everyone he accepts as a child." There are so many things that we could learn from Jesus' teaching at that dinner party. But I think the first thing that we need to learn from it is to love his teaching, even when, especially when it offends us, especially when it makes us uncomfortable. You've probably heard this a zillion times. It's a cliche now, but it's true enough to hear another zillion times. God loves you exactly as you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay there. He almost never stops us with that traditional bolt of lightning when we do something wrong, when we're messing up. Much more often, what he does is he speaks to us through his word and through that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit inside us. Sometimes it opens our eyes to something we haven't seen before, something we haven't been willing to see before. Sometimes it just unsettles us, makes us uncomfortable in that rut that we've made for ourselves so that he can help us get out of it. Because the truth is, we have so many blind spots. Not only what we think of as traditional sins like pride and selfishness and laziness, but also the things that our parents believe and the community that we grew up in and those accidents of our birth like our race and our sex and our economic status and even the way that we practice our faith. All those things make up this comfortable little universe bubble that we can't see out of by our own efforts until the teacher comes to dinner and shakes us up. And that discomfort, that shaking up, is his gift of love to us, just like it was to the people at the Pharisees' dinner party. Because when we're teachable, when we're willing to see our need to change, when we're willing to change, then we grow up further into the fullness of who we were created to be as the beloved children of God.